What up? What up? What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Jersey, and I'm back with another episode of Black Culture The Breakdown.
Yes.
All right. So today we are talking all about making money on social media pays. All right. So I got a super dope show, super dope lineup. I'm super excited to kind of just be back. How y'all feeling this Sunday? I see y'all in here. Jody, see, I see you. What up? Yeah. David, I see you. What up? Carl, what up? All right, Lotus is in here. What up? What up? What up? All right, but yeah, today's all about social media page. We got super dope guests. We got Layla Lynn, and we also got Calvin Michaels that's going to be in the building tonight, all right?
Yes!
We're going to be breaking down everything in pop culture, everything going on that's pushing the culture forward or pushing the setting the culture back, okay?
Yes!
We're definitely talking about everything. We're tapping in with everything tonight. It's a lot going on, so let's get these guests on the show already. Give me a beat. I see you in here early. Layla, I see you in here early. Boom, 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 boom. How do I get? All right, there you go. Oh, what's up, Layla?
What's up, Jersey?
Good. Let me try to give me a beat on here.
Okay.
If you're tapping in with Black Culture right now, we got Layla Lynn on the live.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Hey. There we go. What's going on? Thank y'all so much for being on Black Culture The Breakdown. All right. All right. So let's tap in. Actually, do introductions. Let's start. Layla, tell people who you are and what you do.
I am Layla Lynn, and I am a YouTuber. I do YouTube and Facebook videos on the culture, like you said, the Black culture mostly. And I focus actually on Black women. Like the people I cover on my channel is mostly Black women and the culture, Black culture.
Absolutely. Let's go.
Yes.
All right.
Calvin, tell everybody who you are and what you do.
All right. Hey, y'all. So I'm Calvin Michaels. I also do YouTube, talk a lot of Black politics, music, yeah, along those lines. Also do music on the side, a bunch of other side projects. So nice to meet y'all.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
And welcome. First of all, I think there's a little bit of audio issues with Calvin.
That's it. Let me grab a headphone if it's me. Let me just double check. I don't know if it's me. I'll grab a headphone real quick.
Give me 1 second, okay?
No worries. No worries. So if it's right back tonight, we are here for Black Culture to break down and we tapping it. Everything. Layla Lynn on the live, and we have Mr. Calvin on the live that will be breaking down everything in Black culture tonight.
Yes.
All right, we got a lot to talk about, and I'm super excited. Make sure y'all tap it on, because we got Lorena, who will be in the building for season 4.
Yes!
Yeah, I remember her. She don't play games. All right, so let's get into the topic. Calvin, let's do a little mic check.
Yeah, so I'm still here, and it's like it kind of breaks up for me when you talk a bit back and forth. So I don't know.
Now, it sounds better from my end. Audience, are you guys having audio issues? Let me know if you guys can hear me well in the... No, please. But definitely. Production in the back. Let me know if we have audio issues. But anyways, so we're going to tap in. Layla, how are we doing with the headphones?
I'm coming.
Okay. No problem. Calvin, talk to everybody about your YouTube channel, man.
Yeah, so it's been pretty much a journey. I've been running it for a few years, and like I said, we kind of cover a little bit of everything. I have a really great group of people that kind of follow my content, and we kind of just dive into everything. Sometimes the conversations are heavier than others, and so you never really know how people are going to respond. I've kind of shifted a little bit into doing a little bit more music documentaries as well. That kind of covers, you know, the trajectories of different artists as well, so... it's pretty dope. You also meet a lot of people. Layla can probably talk about this as well, but you discover you have subscribers from just all over the world. You got people in like Sri Lanka and Nepal that start following you. So that's pretty dope.
I have been subscribed to you for a while. First of all, can y'all hear me? Clear now?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Subscribed to you, Calvin, for a
so
while.
We're indirectly subscribed to each other and didn't know, because I'm subscribed to your channel as well. So okay. All right.
Yes, I love your channels. I love the documentaries and the deep dives. I love it.
All right, I appreciate that. Small world. All right.
Yeah.
Very Well, I want to let y'all both know I'm subscribed to both of y'all, okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to say that y'all pages has been such a calming during the pandemic. And I must say to you, I'm a fan of both of your work. I think you guys do excellent job of putting content together, keeping up with what's going on, and keeping the people addressed with current facts.
Yes!
Keyword facts.
It's on facts.
Yes.
So I appreciate you guys. I have a lot of guests on this show, and a lot of times I get the inspiration from your channel, like, oh, I should probably reach out to that person or reach out to that person based off of what you guys do. I plan a lot of my topics based off what you guys talk about as well. So I want to just give you guys your roses. Y'all definitely out here in these streets.
Yes.
Thank you.
So let's get into this conversation. Let's start off with Jay-Z joins Instagram. It's 2.3 million followers in 21 hours, but he deletes it after 21 hours and to promote the movie, The Harder They Fall. Thoughts on that?
I like that he did that. I like that he did that. I felt like, okay, he's like an influencer, right? Like, he's one of the biggest influencers. So I feel like he's kind of using that leverage for free promotion. Because he got like 2 million followers. So that might be like 20 million impressions, you know, just to promote his movie. So I feel like he's smart, you know, with the free promotion. I feel like it was very smart. And him deleting it was kind of like, y'all know I'm not going to use it. So let me delete it. And then when I come back, it'll get attention again.
Yeah, I thought, and I think because he's been in the industry for such a long time, you got to find creative ways to keep people interested as well. Because at this point, Jay-Z's done everything. So what else is left? Instagram. So, you know, you can't go wrong with it. Then he said, all right, this is all you're getting. So watch the movie. And all right, I'll see you later. So,
right. Yeah.
No, I definitely think Jay-Z understands the assignment of social media, and it's to promote whatever business, I guess, he's trying to push. So the fact that he got 2.3 million people to focus on him on that one post, then he followed Beyonce, and Beyonce actually followed him back, and then he deletes his Instagram.
Right.
So super dope that he was doing that. Do you guys think he'll come back, or you think it was just a movie?
I think he'll come back and do the same thing again. Like, it's just a little tease that he's doing. So I think he'll come back.
Maybe the next album. It'll be a surprise drop or something.
All right. Let's move on to the next topic. So, Calvin, I know you definitely cover Janet Jackson. What's going on? Fancy Fancy's in the building. What you call it? The Demeter Joke Project. I watched that whole documentary, all 2 hours of it. everything, and you actually touched on the Super Bowl scandal. So let's actually get into this real quick. Janet Jackson's Super Bowl scandal explored in new FX doc malfunctioned. I want to know what you guys' thoughts are on them bringing this back up.
Layla, you want to go first? Or?
I mean, I feel like you are the expert when it comes to all right. Janet.
Okay, so I'll say this. I know I made my doc, which, by the way, that was hell on earth to put together. If y'all knew the backstory, like, I lost half the documentary. I lost all the files. My poor coworkers, everybody was catching my energy at work because I was pissed off for 2 days. But I got it all back. But I will say, I think it's a great way to at least highlight some of the things that happened behind the scenes, especially with the Les Moonves guy. That's the guy that's pretty much behind the scenes as to why she was blacklisted in the, you know, pushing her off of radio and banning her from MTV and all these other things. But I will also say the only thing I think that kind of sucks is that the Super Bowl has become her legacy as well. And so a lot of times for people who may not be as familiar, that's the first thing people think of every time you hear her name. So I'm hoping that this can kind of close the door on that conversation and people kind of move forward. But I'm also glad it highlights the fact that, yeah, there was a double standard in the response that took place in regards to how Janet was treated versus Justin. And again, that Les Moonves conversation, that's what I really hope they dive into. I didn't get to go into it on mine as much because I wanted to kind of focus on that album. But yeah, when it was discovered that he pretty much made it his mission to end her career, like that was, he was obsessed because he felt that he got embarrassed with the halftime show. And so he was going to make her pay. And so he definitely did for some years, sadly. But she's been able to kind of bounce back and repurpose her career to fit in modern times. So good for her.
Les Moonves is one of the guys that has like Me Too charges against him. Am I right?
Yeah, he's been pushed out of CBS. Yeah, that's what's his name's husband from Big Brother. Julie Chen.
Yes, yeah. So that's weird, you know. I don't know. For me, the whole I call it like nipplegate. Like the whole nipple situation was kind of weird to me because I kind of felt like, you know.
Oh, shit. Y'all ain't heard that.
Yeah, so for him to be acting a fool, like in his personal life, for him to be acting a fool in his personal life and allegedly doing whatever he allegedly did, and then to target Janet, you know, for that, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense.
Definitely. And I'm actually just perplexed that being that Janet Jackson is such, she's a Jackson. How do you cancel a Jackson? You know, like who, like it was just mind blowing to me that everything that she's done before was kind of like eradicated based off of a Super Bowl performance, which I think is so iconic. To me, I think it's dope. Yo, people on OnlyFans right now doing way more. Yeah. So it's iconic. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it was even tasteful in a way, even if it was planned, not planned. What it is. I feel like it almost to this standard tasteful. You know what I'm saying? So how do you cancel somebody for that many years?
Well, I watch it again, and the camera kind of backs away, so you don't really see much. You know what I mean? You don't really see much. But when it comes to cancel culture, you can cancel a Black woman, even if her last name is Jackson. Like, women, to me, it seems like a lot of times men, people say they're going to cancel them, but they don't really get canceled. But when it comes to women, women get canceled. So her name, her family didn't save her. Everything that she built up as far as her career, it didn't save her.
And I think one of the things that may have been different had it happened in 2021, social media wasn't a thing yet in 2004. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the powers that be got to call the shots as to how the world would respond. And they would kind of, you know, determine what the narrative would be in the discourse around that conversation. And so, you know, had a Twitter been out during that time period, I think there would have been a totally different response by the masses. And even with the blacklisting from radio and everything else like that, you see a lot of artists right now who get a lot of promotion just from Twitter. Like we just saw, like Summer Walker just did some really big numbers. And, you know, a lot of people didn't even know she had a project until Friday. And she did some really huge numbers all through word of mouth. Yeah. So, you know, social media, it's changed the game in regards to how people respond collectively.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys think that Janet will have a major comeback, or do you think that the peak of her career is past?
I think her career is repurposed. I don't think you're going to see, sorry to cut you off, I don't think you're going to see the 1993-98 kind of, just because it's a different day and age, and she's also gotten older. The industry's not very graceful to artists after they reach a certain age, and so I think she's turning 56 in May. I think she'll continue to be a viable touring act. I think she'll still release albums that hit the top of the charts, and she'll be respected amongst those collectives that support her. But I think the days of her owning the radio and, you know, all, I think times have just shifted. And it's not even just her, it's everybody in her peer group. All of her peers in music in that same age bracket are dealing with the same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know if she wants to come back. You know what I mean? At this point in her life, you know, I don't even know that she wants that type of comeback. I don't think so.
Yeah, you got like a 5-year-old. You got to pick up toys off the floor and then do a show right after. Anybody trying to do that?
I cannot imagine have a 5-year-old at 56 years old. That's a lot. Even with a nanny, like, you know, a lot of times your kids, they don't want the nanny. They want you. And that's a lot at 56 years old. So
I definitely agree. But I think that Janet is a superstar in her blood. I feel like once you get that touch of the stage, it never leaves. So if she'll want to give it up, I think she'll come out swinging again because she can still dance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah.
Better than 75% of the artists today. That's current right now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So I definitely think that she'll come back.
Yes.
Let's move to the next topic, guy. Let's get this one. I want to actually bring Flo on. We actually talk about this topic. By the way, if you guys don't know, Flo is a medium and a psychic. So I want to definitely tap in with say about this topic. I know what it is if you see the roster. Let's move on to the next thing. Wendy Williams ratings up since guest host. Do you think that she's happy, and do we like the guest hosts that are taking over so far?
Well, I don't think she's happy. I feel like Wendy Williams is the type of person, this might sound bad, but I kind of feel like she's the type of person, like she has a lot of ego, and she would rather her ratings kind of flop without her, and then when she comes back, see a big spike, because it is the Wendy Williams show, right? Her name is on the show. So I think she would rather the show not do that great without her. And then when she returns, you know, that greatness comes back. So I don't think she's happy at all, you know, with her health and with her ex-husband. I feel like, you know how sometimes something will happen to you and it takes a while, like, you know, her filing for divorce and divorcing her husband, you know, she was married to him for a long time. And with him having a baby, especially a baby girl, like that type of stuff can hit you later. And so I feel like she's dealing with mental health issues, issues from her divorce, and then her health issues. I personally don't think she's happy, but I hope she can get there. I hope she can get to happy, but I don't think she's happy now.
Yeah, I think I always felt that even with in regards to everything to her marriage, I felt like had everything not really gone out to the public or, you know, the business wasn't out there, she would have stayed in the marriage. And because I feel like they already kind of just had an agreement. Like, I feel like the way that they were set up was just how it had been for years. So I think the baby showing up and then everybody finding out was the nail in the coffin, because it seems like she's heartbroken, sadly.
But she said the agreement. She said the agreement was as long as he didn't have
a baby.
Like,
right.
Right. Because she knew about the mistress like 10 years. Like, she did, you know, she knew about the mistress. And I guess if you stay with the person, then you agree to it. But she said in her book that the only thing was, she was like, don't have a baby. And the thing with Wendy, she's mentioned, like, she only has a son and she wanted a baby girl. So he had a baby and it was a girl. You know what I'm saying? So that's a lot
yeah,
that for hurts.
Women. Yeah. Now, I haven't seen the new season. I saw a few clips on social media when Cherry Shepherd hosted. But I saw they got Michael Rapaport this week. So they ain't got to worry about me watching. Next. I don't do Michael Rapaport. He's too comfortable in black spaces and be disrespectful. So
oh,
no.
My God.
But
I'm going to say this, though. I read, okay, because, you know, there was this post, this social media post went viral of him and Kenya Moore and him comparing Miss USA, former Miss USA Kenya Moore, him comparing her to like a gorilla. Do y'all remember that post?
See, that's why I don't follow him. I think he I remember some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It was outrageous, but he said it's fake. So he kind of like denies the accusations against him when it comes to, like, you know, black culture and the things he said. He kind of, you know, denies it. But I don't know.
He did too good of a job shooting Tyra in Higher Learning for my liking. It just was too convincing. Like, it was like, I almost believed you for real. So ever since then, nope, I'm good. Nope. And he came after Janet. So no, absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah.
Y'all say
too comfortable.
Nope. So we're not here for the guest host. All right.
I'm here for Cherry.
Yeah, Cherry Shepherd from the clips I saw was good.
Right. Nah. Specifically, we're not here for Michael Rapaport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cherry was good. Did you guys like Leah Remedy?
She did good. It's not the same. It's not the same. And I think it might have been Jason Lee of Hollywood Unlocked that was kind of pointing out, people look at Wendy Williams as mainstream, right? Mm. But really, he was pointing out it's a black show. And I think the show does better when it has a black host with a black perspective. No disregard to Leah Remedy, because she did well. But I do think when I see women like Cherry Shepherd lead the show, to me, it's more like on brand.
It's more on brand. Okay. All right. That definitely makes sense. So now, would you guys be opposed to doing a panel on the Wendy show? Would you guys be like opposed to having YouTubers on there?
No, I think that would be entertaining to see, depending on who they got on there.
Right. It depends on the person.
Okay. Okay, gotcha. You know, these YouTube streets are definitely really, really interesting. But I'm definitely going to say that it's grown, and I feel like YouTube has become like the new mainstream, kind of. So I thought, dope. They had on the first week, like, Bevy Smith and all of them, Michael Yo, and I feel like, no shade. But I just feel like there's a lot more people that are relevant in the culture now that can give a better perspective of what's going on. I feel like they've been on the show for a lot of years, and it's time to maybe grow and bring some new, fresh perspectives in. What do you guys think?
I think in the world of entertainment, there's been a parallel with the internet world and what's currently being kind of put out there as far as like mainstream entertainment, and they haven't really met yet. And so I think a lot of people behind the scenes are paying attention to what's happening, I guess, in the internet world, because there's some people with some really huge platforms where some people who are even on YouTube, some of these people, the views that they're getting on some of their videos are higher than some of the ratings for some of these TV shows. You know, you get 400,000 or 500,000 or 600,000 views on a video. That's what most of the daytime TV shows are averaging already, if you're not one of the bigger ones. So there's definitely a void that's kind of missing. But I think Yeah, there's going to have to be more of a cross connection. But also, I don't think everybody that's on YouTube is meant to be on TV and vice versa. So,
okay.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like a lot of people, you know, you see people own the lane they're in. Even when it comes to Nick Cannon, I feel like he was kind of owning the lane he's in with the Wildin' Out. But then seeing him on daytime television, in my opinion, he hasn't, you know, I can't expect him to master it yet. He's new to it. But it's not always what people are looking for. It's different. Like, even from television to the internet, or even different television time slots are different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't always look at it as comparable.
Okay. All right, that makes sense then. Layla, talk to us about the ratings. I know you actually...
Oh, yeah.
You go down the...
Yeah, I do keep up with the ratings with the daytime talk shows. I feel like my channel is... I do, like, a lot of daytime TV type of coverage. And so the ratings were up. It takes a while for the ratings to come mm-hmm. in. And so the ratings were up for that first week, which was actually Leah Remini. To her credit, the ratings were up. The week before that, they were running reruns of the Wendy Williams show. And then when they put Leah Remini on with the live shows, the ratings were up like 33%. Hmm. And it's a big deal. Even though the week before was reruns, and then of course when you go live, it's going to be an increase. It's still a big deal because last year when she went live, like the rating was like 0.8 with Wendy. But with Leah, it was actually 0.9 this year.
Hmm.
So Leah actually had higher ratings than Wendy.
God.
Yeah. And so I want to see Sherry's ratings. I know there was Whitney Cummings who hosted for a week. I'm not too familiar with her, to be honest. And so I didn't really tune in because I'm not too familiar with her. But with Sherry Shepherd did amazing. If you look at the social media response to Sherry Shepherd, she really did amazing. So I want to see those.
Yes. Ones. Definitely.
Yeah.
Shepherd definitely killed it from the clip. Now, you actually keep up with the national syndicated shows as well. You said she got in like a fifth place this month.
Okay. So you do watch my videos like for real.
So,
okay. Yes, in the rating.
Definitely do. But in terms of where Black people stand on that ratings, how big of a voice is Wendy Williams for a black lead to kind of stand on those charts? Is it like a big deal? Is there any other Black people on the charts?
Well, we have to look at, you know, because the chart in my video, the charts I was specifically referencing are daytime TV shows. Mm-hmm. So you have to look at what other Black people have daytime TV shows. It's not a lot to
it's
compare.
Just her and Tamron and Nick.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Nick is new. Yeah. So we can't expect too much. I feel like we need to give him a little bit of grace because I heard two reports. I heard he's not doing well. And on the other hand, they said on social media, he is doing really well. So I think we need to give him a little bit of grace as far as the ratings. But yeah, it's not a lot to compare Wendy to.
Yeah, now I will say, folks may not like it, but for me, I kind of keep Wendy Williams just in that entertainment bubble. When it comes to any kind of conversation around Blackness, she's not my go-to for anything. Just because she's half and half of me. Sometimes she gets it, but a lot of times... And I think that's one of the things that happens with a lot of people in television. What I love about the internet world is you can get away with saying a lot more, being a lot more transparent and honest with those heavier conversations. Wendy, right. Because she has such a huge white following as well, she has to play and straddle the fence on certain things. And I noticed a lot of Black women catch smoke on her show. That's all I'm saying. So she stays going after a lot of Black women entertainers.
Even just women of color in general. Mm-hmm. I've seen her. She goes after the Hispanic girls too, the Erica Menas and those girls too. Yeah, that is true. But I wonder. I guess people might say, is Wendy pandering to her white audience by treating these black women this way, or is that just, you know, Wendy's personality? But what I want to watch out for is Tamron Hall. Because Tamron Hall is doing the same thing to a lot of Black women on her show.
If this phone falls, one more time.
I'm going to
just hold it. Jesus. All right.
But yeah, Tamron Hall is doing the same thing. Like, she had Usher Raymond's ex-wife on her show not that long ago. She kind of talked down to her. She talked down to Tamar. So hopefully it's not a trend, you know, for Black women to be talking down to other Black women on daytime television just to get, you know, their white audience behind them.
Everybody's looking for clout and clicks.
Nah.
Everybody got to sell their show and keep up until they can be on the charts. So I think, you know, Wendy Williams, though, has done a good job of building a lot of enemies. But in that perspective, I think that she's built a lot of loyal fans that trust her judgment because she's not favored to celebrities. But I do feel like she has more favoritism to a white audience and white celebrities more than her own culture that helped her build that platform that she got right now.
Yes!
But that's just all I say. I do think that Wendy is hilarious, though. I think she's good at what she does. And I think that she's going to go down as a legend. She's a
legend. She is a legend. Yeah, Wendy is a legend. Wendy Williams is a legend. Yes. Yes, you can put a stamp on that. Wendy Williams definitely is a legend, in my opinion.
Gotcha. All right, last thing on Wendy. Should she retire? Should just be it?
Yeah. I think she got a few more strings left in her, but I don't know. I think it seems like the health is really starting to affect her. And I don't know how much longer the networks would stand behind her, because it seems like for the last 3 or 4 seasons, there's always been something where they have to postpone or stop production. So I don't know how that'll play out, because it also won't look good with the network if they say, well, we got rid of her because her health kept affecting the show. Because now it's going to look like, all right, now you're discriminating against somebody with a condition. So I don't know. I think she has a few more years left in her, but I think she might. I don't think she wants to do it anymore. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, we can speculate, but the thing is, normally she would have been renewed by now, and she hasn't been. So even if she does have a few more years left in her, Denmark Mercury has not renewed her at all past the season.
Well, there I have it. Well, Wendy, we definitely wishing you cover whatever it is that you're going through over there. Hopefully you come back and regain your Mr. Queen. All right, so let's move on. Topic. Kanye West drink champs on Revolt. He definitely a whole lot is a lot packed, but focused on he talked about Big Sean and John Legend and saying that was the worst thing he has put that on my with Sean. Thoughts on that?
Okay, so let me jump with the piece where he was talking about he was feeling some kind of way because they didn't support him when he ran for office. I think when it comes to friendships, sometimes if you're a good friend, you're going to call your friend out when he owns some nonsense. So I don't understand why he would fault them for not wanting to get behind his campaign. It would have been different had he had a real platform and was actually, it wasn't kind of an ego thing, but it just wasn't together. It wasn't. And then, mind you, this is not too long after slavery was a choice and you know, you go to the campus of Howard and then tell them, next time, let's make sure we don't wait in line for the Nets to catch us. Like, no, I'm not going to stand behind every crazy thing that you do. Because, again, those other artists have brands that they have to maintain as well. I'm not too crazy over John Legend because he be on some other stuff sometimes, too. But I think the bigger conversation, I think it has more so to do with just contracts and the fact that now Big Sean can own his masters and his everything else like that. That's what it seems like the real smoke is about. Because, you know, everybody with good music could say, hey, our contracts kind of suck. And so for Kanye, you know, as great as he is, it's kind of like you constantly talk about how the industry is set up to be unfair for black artists, but you're kind of doing the same thing to a lot of artists. We saw how Teyana Taylor was pissed with the project before the last one with how the rollout was. So, you know.
Yeah. I was
just about to say that Teyana Taylor definitely would, you know, speak different. But just like with Mace, with Diddy, I feel like the whole used to go on and everybody has their own experiences. Layla, what's your thoughts on this?
I feel like Kanye is all ego. I do feel like he's a narcissist. You know what I mean? I feel like his whole career is built off narcissism and people follow that because he is entertaining.
Yeah.
I do feel, you know, it took me a minute to realize that that's like a little audio thing you're doing. It was throwing me off for a minute. I was like, what?
Oh, somebody in the back?
Right.
That's my sound effects.
Yeah.
I got a little bored. But I feel like it's all ego, and I do feel like it's the political thing, like them not supporting his run for president, which I feel like they have a right to make their own political choices. I have friends whose politics don't match mine, but we're still good friends. So I feel like it is all ego when it comes to Kanye. Gotcha. I do.
It's definitely all ego. But to say to put that on my tombstone, like, and then you put that's an interview that is obviously gonna live in the diaspora forever.
But he was just hanging with Big Sean the same day. That's what had me confused. Like, Big Sean was like, we just took a picture like a few hours ago. Why you ain't say this when I was there? Wait a minute. that's fighting words right there. That's what starts a fight. Like, okay, really? All right, I'm gonna see you.
But, definitely. Apparently, Big
be on Drink Champ soon, and he's giving his side of, I guess, whatever's going down. But in addition to that, he had a whole lot more to say. What was your thoughts on just his overall mental health? Do you think that he made a lot of sense? Do you think that he's injury? Do you think he just needs to be on medication? What are your thoughts?
I try not to address people's mental health too much. And I hope my audio is okay. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, you good.
Okay.
Yes!
Because I'm kind so I try not to, because I don't want to judge his mental health, because I do feel like he struggles with his mental health. You know what I mean? And I don't want to say, oh, he needs to get back on his medication. He must be off his pills. I don't want to say that even if I think it, because I don't want to judge his mental health, because we all struggle. We're all human. You know, even if he does have this huge ego, even if he's a billionaire and thinks that he's above, in reality, we're all human. So I don't want to judge his mental health. But I do think it's an issue.
I just think he has too many yes folks around him. That's the main thing I keep looking at. So even if you put the mental health conversation to the side and just look at some of the actions, I don't think he has people around him that will really call him out. I think going back to that whole friend conversation, you definitely need one or two good friends that'll call you out when you are going in the wrong direction, you know? So
yes.
I just think he has everybody. Cause again, and I think that's why I know they always throw the term genius around. I'm like, okay, but that's in relation to the music. Y'all are letting this be the blanket statement for everything he does. And so now y'all coddle him with every and anything that he does. And so it's kind of like, nah, that's not how this works. But all right, I guess. So, because even piece of the interview. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you finish and then I'll say what
I mean. Just even that piece in the interview. One of the other things I noticed he starts to do as well, because he'll kind of paint. And again, I like the man's music, but I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that he says. And even when it comes to how he addresses the Black collective, it's always very condescending. I saw that piece where he was talking about we don't own anything but braids, and then kind of mocked that whole conversation about how people feel about certain things. And then there was another conversation about something with community. And I was like, well, you're the billionaire, so let's go ahead and see what you're going to put out there. What's the, you know, maybe there's stuff he does behind the scenes. I know somebody like a Jay-Z and Beyonce do things that we don't know about. So maybe that's what Kanye's doing. But I looked at who you married. So don't come to me with the wokeness. Ooh. But all right.
I like Kim on her own. Yeah. So I feel like you were saying how, you know, Kanye West is kind of coddled by the public. And I want to see the public coddle a Black woman. Like, what Black woman do they coddle? Like, they coddle Kanye West. And I don't see it. I don't see it. So that's part of my issue, you know, when I look at how he doesn't get canceled. He does, like, a lot of, you know, stuff that he should be, quote unquote, should be canceled for, according to pop culture. But it never works. He never actually gets canceled. And I want to see a Black woman, you know, get to that point where she's not canceled. You know, for speaking her mind.
But he actually said that, and he was like, they can't cancel me. I'm above that. He said, I look down on the clouds. I'm above that.
So and
I think that's because he has a huge white following as well. So even if we pissed off, white America still loves, and vice versa. Yeah. So he can kind of jump back and forth with whichever group isn't mad. So.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Now, he mentioned a whole lot of different things. Like, when it comes to my wife, she got a publicist around her. So like, when those random outbursts, when you're trying to get your wife back while she's currently on dates with Pete Davidson, but when you're trying to get your wife back, what do you guys think about those random outbursts?
Well, they're not going to help. I think she's going back. First of all, I think she's had enough. From everything I've heard, that she's had enough of Kanye. I don't think she's going back. She's already tied to him because they have, you know, four kids. She's already tied to him. So it's almost like she has him in her life regardless. Like, she don't really need to go back to, you know what I mean? Because he's in her life. So I don't think she's going back. But even if he wanted her back, I don't think the outbursts help. I don't think they help. Okay. I think they help.
So now, do you feel like Kim is just kind of doing her? Or do you feel like she's just still looking for media attention with this entire Pete Davidson situation that's happening right now?
I think she's just having fun, honestly.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything serious that's going to come out of that. She's just having some fun. She needed a break. Them kids giving her a head. You four kids under the age of, what, 10 in the house? And then you got Kanye at the same time? And you still a Kardashian, and you got your mama and everybody else? You just want to have some fun. She needed a break. But I don't know.
She's, because, you know, Pete Davidson, remember he proposed to Ariana. Remember?
Okay. Yeah.
So that makes me feel like he's a little bit serious. Like he's a comedian. He comes off as a jokester, but it makes me feel like he's a little bit of a serious guy. So I could see her kind of like falling for him, personally.
I don't think she's going to fall for him. I don't know if he's of the caliber that she's looking for. I think she's only going to keep going up. She has a bigger brand than him. Yeah, and I think she's in that caliber where they marry for like status marriage. That's just how I see it. Meaning like there's only certain kind of people they're going to settle with based on what it is they have in their experience because they need somebody else that can relate to their experience all the way. He has that with the world of celebrity, but I think with all the businesses and everything else she has and that whole family dynasty, I don't know if he's going to, you know, be the one she sees when the veil's lifted on the aisle.
I don't know. I feel like if he can navigate it, because he seems like really kind of like lighthearted, if he can navigate her family and the media, because like a lot of issues she's had in the past, like I like him on her own. I don't like her and Kanye, but it's certain aspects of her I do like. And I feel like, you know, watching her, a lot of the guys she's dated, the media attention has been an issue in her romantic life. But I feel like if he can navigate that, I feel like she might have a certain respect for him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I could see it. I could see it.
Now, in terms of, like, Courtney's getting a lot of media attention right now, being Travis, you think that Kim is like, no, this is my show. This is my show. So how could it start? And then on top of that, she's dating somebody that's not the color of complexion that she usually likes. So this is what makes me feel like, do you think she's doing this for media attention because she's trying to get at Kanye and she just feel like she want to simmer Courtney down?
Layla, that's all you.
That's all you. You not into the Kardashians?
Look, I don't follow them like that.
I don't either. I don't follow them. But just as a woman, I just feel like, you know, it's a certain, like, I could understand another woman's point of view. When I see her dating someone that people might say, oh, that's not your type, I can understand. Like, I can look at Pete Davidson. I could probably see what she sees in him. I hope she's not trying to simmer her sister down and, you know, throw a little rain on her parade. I would hope not. Because that would be terrible. Talk about ego. That would be terrible. So I hope it's not that. It could be. I wouldn't put it past her. I just hope it's not that. But I do think, you know, for her to be seen in public with Pete Davidson, I do think it's something of substance to it.
Okay. All right. Substance. All right, so we're going to keep definitely following that up. Is there anything else on Kanye that we want to definitely address? Did you guys listen to the Donda album?
Listen, they said it's a gospel album.
No, Donda, that was the other one, wasn't it?
They said Donda is his second gospel album. What I read.
No, that was an album of spells. That wasn't a gospel album.
Okay. What I read said that Donda was Kanye's second gospel album, and I was like, what?
Gospel. There was some gospel tracks on there, but okay. There was songs taking shots at Drake. There was songs like, nah, definitely not a gospel album.
Okay, because I looked at it and I was like, not today. So I haven't listened to the whole thing. I've listened to a few songs, but not the whole thing.
She said not today.
Not today.
Nope. The first track on there is called Donda, and it's just, if you guys know, that's Selena Johnson actor with Queens just chanting over and over, Donda, Donda. And I was like, what is, like, it almost gives you like a, like the spell casting. That's what it is.
Yeah. And I just want to say this really quickly because I am a Christian and I don't, okay, this is not judging Kanye West, but it's just letting you know my perspective. And, you know, it's a Bible verse that was like, you know, everybody that calls on the name of God basically is not Christian. Not to say he's not a Christian, but when I see him with people who are open, what do you call it? The guy, Marilyn Manson, he's an open, okay. I don't want to say Satanist. I feel like there's another word for it.
He's an open Satanist.
Okay, I think that open. Is. Yeah, a whole bunch of charges.
Yeah,
that too. Which goes, you know, goes together. So if you're having, he had like some type of service with him. So it's like, how could y'all be together, you know, worshiping God, quote unquote, worshiping God, when this guy's an open Satanist? So it makes me wonder, and it just takes me back to that Bible verse, and it just makes me wonder, like, you know, they call it gospel albums, they call it gospel music, you know, some of the songs Kanye's created, but it just makes me wonder, like, it just really makes me wonder, who is he worshiping? That's what it makes me wonder.
And he's all intertwined, like I said, with the Kardashians, the biggest beauty moguls and celebrity family of all time. And it just seems like it's trying to stay on top forever. You know what I'm saying? So they do all types of craziness. Think about it. Every other rapper has kind of aged out gracefully. Right? But he's like,
nope.
Yeah, catch this. Do whatever I do to stay relevant. And competing with Drake on that level. Now, Drake is older too, but not like Kanye, but 44? Do we know any other 44-year-old rapper that is number one on the charts ever in life?
That's a good question.
The only other one would have been Jay-Z years back. But even then, that it was in a different caliber. So
yeah.
You know, he's not trying to give it up. He'll be 50 and still trying to go number one. So now he's going to figure out how to top burning himself in a church. It's just a lot. But, you know, I just hope the next generation is just understanding what's entertainment and what's real. You know what I'm saying?
I hope so, too.
Let's transition into this last topic. We actually had supposed to have Flo on here. I'm here to deliver a little bit of bad news, but her friend got into a car accident.
Oh, no.
Oh, I hope she's okay.
Yeah, she says she's fine, but they're just dealing with it right now, and she says she's sorry and she'll be on another date. So, but let's move into this. Let's move into this.
Can I just say hey to Flo real quick? Because I used to watch Bad Girl Club. So hey Flo, you know, I see your I just want to tell you, Flo, I see your transition, how you took control of your life, and I just want to say hey and kudos to you for taking control, especially of your anger, you know, your anger issues and changing your life. I just want to say hey to you.
Okay.
Yes.
Shout out to Flo.
Shout out to Flo.
Definitely, she's definitely one of the Bad Girls Club icons that was like an original personality for TV.
Yeah. I was
clips today and I was like, yo, she really cursed out Perez Hilton. I ain't gonna like not to be messy, but it's mad years ago. But
and he deserved it. So yeah.
But anyway, shout out to you, Flo. We'll definitely catch up soon.
Yes.
All right, let's get into this last topic. Calvin, I just watched your video that you just touched on with current news. Okay. And the first thing I think you actually talked about was Travis Scott. And I definitely wanted to address this crazy, crazy situation. It's probably one of the most craziest things I've heard in quite a long time. And I want us to be as honest as we can be on our opinions on this topic. But let's get into it. Travis Scott, there's 8 dead, allegedly. Hundreds.
It's not allegedly.
It ain't allegedly. They dead.
Yeah, they dead.
No,
it's not allegedly.
But I feel like there's more than 8.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, the number's probably going to climb, sadly.
According to the reports, there's 8 dead, hundreds injured. They said about 300 points at AstroFest, all while Travis continues to perform on stage. So let's get into this topic and thoughts.
I think there's so many layers to all of it, because when I was looking at, like, okay, well, who do we put the blame on with all this? And I think it goes into a bunch of pockets. I think, like I said on the video, one, whoever was contracted to do security, I think there were some lapses in that. I think when it comes to the lawsuits that are coming, there's going to be lawsuits against the venue, against the organizers, the promoters. And even with Travis Scott, I think what's working against him now is people are going and finding past actions that have taken place at older shows to kind of build the argument that they have against him at the moment. And some people were saying, well, you know, when you're performing on those stages, you can't really see the crowd, which I will give them that, but you would still see those flashing red lights in all those different pockets within the crowd. And so I'm glad I ain't in those shoes. I think, again, I'm not a big fan of certain events when they're standing room only, depending on what kind of show it is, just because you do run into that kind of setup. It's different if it's like a smaller R&B show that makes, like, I remember I went to, what's that Beyonce show? It was the Miss Carter tour. That was like the arena floor was standing room only. And so I feel like that's a different kind of crowd. So when she flew over your head and went to the other stage, everybody ran to the backstage, but it wasn't going to be like people getting trampled. But I think in a lot of the festival environments, we got to be honest, a lot of people are high as a kite. You got people that are drunk and out of their minds. You got people that are there just to stir up stuff. And again, we are coming out of a well, I think we're coming out of the pandemic.
We're still in the middle.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute, y'all. I made my peace with just like, you know, we're going to be in this till like November 2024, whatever. But, you know, and so you got people who just want to release. And so that's the perfect environment for all of that. So I think it's just like that domino effect where it's just this crappy deck of cards where the chips have just fallen into a bunch of places. And that's how you get such a disaster. Because I think, like I said in the video, you've seen other instances where things happen. It can be the smallest trigger that can make such a huge event. So like the Who concert from 79, where they have the miscommunication about when the show would start and everybody's outside the arena and the show was supposed to start hours earlier. The people hear the band doing sound check and there's only one set of doors open and everybody tries to push through the doors and then you get 11 people that are killed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there's so many layers to be had, but I do think Travis Scott's going to need some serious PR and damage control because he's not looking good for him at all.
Nope. Okay, it's definitely not. Layla, thoughts?
Well, the first lawsuit has already been filed.
See?
I saw in the Daily Mail, and they're including Drake. they're including Drake in that lawsuit. Because basically what they say, Travis Scott, speaking to his past, like he hypes a crowd up. He wants them to rage. He encourages them to pass over security. Like he encourages them to act crazy. And there's a quote of him, even in his documentary, it's a quote where he's saying like, you know, if nobody gets hurt, then it wasn't good or it wasn't a party or something like that. He says, if nobody gets hurt, then it wasn't lit. You know what I mean? And so that type of stuff is going to come against him. His previous charges, like for, you know, inciting riots and stuff like that. It's gonna play a major factor in the lawsuits against him. And I think the people suing him, you know, are on good, like they have a good reason to sue him. There's a video of him watching somebody's body, you know, getting carried out and singing while the body's getting carried out. And then you see other performers, you see them stop their shows when somebody, you know, is injured. They'll stop their shows if people are fighting. They'll be like, you know, you can't fight, you can't act crazy, you know, because I'll stop the whole concert. They take control of the crowd. He likes the rage. And part of me feels like, going back to ego, part of me feels like his ego is what likes the rage. And I don't want to get too deep, but I do feel like the concert, when you have people cheering you on, 50,000 people cheering you on, that has to do something to your ego. And years and years of that is going to warp your
life.
Yeah. So I do feel like he is somewhat liable. I do.
Definitely liable. This topic to me really bothered me the whole day. I've been just watching and I've been just searching YouTube. Everybody's online talking about it. Some people were present. Like, now I'm a dancer first, choreographer and a dancer. So I perform my. Oh!
Well, we all just dropping these phones.
I had to do it too.
Not the sound effect, though.
Listen, so, you know, so I'm used to being on stage, so I understand what it's like to even see the crowd and know what's going on. Now, to have kids die,
14, I saw that.
And there was another video of like a four-year-old on somebody's like shoulder and having a good time, and then I'm just like, yo, there's kids in the audience, and you sat there and continued to chant while they died. And, you know, not to be super, like, spiritual, but it almost felt like a sacrifice, you know, in a very way. Listen to the setup. There's an eye on the stage. There's a vortex that's spinning, and everybody is saying, stop the show. Stop the show. They say, I can't breathe. So it almost, they were saying, it wasn't like they were like, oh, there's a bum rush of people wilding out. They're saying there was an energy that they're saying they couldn't breathe. You know what I'm saying? So how much of this feels like there's a deeper spiritual connection than actually an incident, some random incident that happened? Where was the security? You know what I'm saying?
They were there. I don't think they were enough, which I think goes to what you were saying, Calvin, as far as not having enough security to manage 50,000 people. But even with their presence, if in the past, like Travis Scott has told the people, like at one concert, the security had on green shirts and he told, you know, all the people in green shirts, back up. That's a quote from him telling security to back up. So I don't think he's the most responsible when it comes to security and making sure his fans are safe, even when they're present. I don't think he necessarily respects them. I don't think he gives that.
Yeah, and they should have known, too, even from with the footage of them breaking the barriers before the show started, that should have been the wake-up call to say, okay, we're going to have to really reapproach how we handle tonight because, you know, the energy's already in the space. Once people have those moments, that energy doesn't die down if they've broken a barrier and ran through or anything like that. I remember, I don't know if you remember on the news, it's like some months back at one of the baseball games, there was a shooting outside the stadium and the people in the stadium thought there was a mass shooter in the game. I just so happened to be there that day. But I remember like how chaotic it was and how it was so easy to get trampled, which is why I was like, I'm going to just stay put. And they start shooting, it's 30,000 of us. So what's the chances it's going to be me? So,
when it's stuff like that, I didn't feel like it is going to be me.
I'm like, nope. I was like, we just go lay down under these seats and people just running everywhere. I was like, because it's better to just stay put than get trampled. And you didn't know who was in the exits and all. I'm like, nope. And this is DC too. So this might be some terrorist stuff. Let me stay put. But nope.
This might be some terrorist stuff. Listen, I don't like big crowds like that, especially now just during the pandemic. Number one, these are parents that are sending your kids. Everybody was sardines. They said it was over 100,000 people in the building. They saying people are reporting that hundreds of people died. Not eight. They were saying there were bodies laid out, hundreds of them. There's people reporting that was live there. You know, they're saying like, yo, they're lying to you guys in the media. There's more people that passed away. Like, that's what I'm saying, and it's really strange. Like, nobody wanted to stop the show. They just kept going. He performed 40 minutes more actually seeing that body. So, and he actually, like I said, it was very spiritual, like ritual. You know what I'm saying? He was chanting at that point when he was watching. So I just want to make sure that we are aware of, you know, the energy that's definitely out there. And then in terms of music today, what are we putting at the forefront of music today to represent our culture as hip hop, as rap, as R&B? What's the message? Because I feel like these kids is jacked up.
Yes.
And kids died. So for me, that's like, compared to everything else we talked about today, that's major. Kids died like yesterday or 2 days ago. Like, you know what I'm saying? From one of the biggest artists that's supposed to be in mainstream media right now. So he should, I'm going to come out and say that he should actually be banned from performing. He should never perform again. That should be the punishment. And somebody needs to go to jail.
And I think to your question in regards to like what's being put out, I think it's also looking at who are the people up top that are pushing and saying these are the people to follow. Because again, like I think the industry has shifted so much where you have this huge, massive music industry underground right now because everybody and their mom is an artist right now. And so again, the powers that be and at these major labels, these are the people that they keep kind of spoon feeding everyone saying this is who you need to support because these are the ones that are up top. So it's like a full circle thing where, okay, you have these artists that may not always necessarily be the best representation, but they also have so much backing by people. And so people kind of just follow in, you know, they get into what's being put out there, which kind of sucks. Now, it's always been that way. It's nothing new. But I think this industry in 2021 is so different than just even 20 years ago. And when we really talked 30 and 40 years ago, it's just everything is different in regards to what's being consumed, what's out there. You throw in the conversation of social media and just accessibility and everything's just available. We're in this weird space right now with music. There's a lot of stuff I don't really follow as much anymore just because it don't be feeling right sometimes.
So. Nope, it definitely doesn't. Music is definitely in a weird space. Layla, any thoughts?
I mean, you know, I don't know a lot about the music industry. Like, I report on pop culture, mostly television, actually. But when it comes to the music industry, like, I've never worked in the music industry. So I don't know a lot about it as far as your question as to why does he get put forward over a lot of other artists. I don't know the answer to that question. But when I have, like, looked him up, I do see people saying that his popularity is in his live performances. Like it's not his records. It's his performances that sell. Like, people like that crazy, chaotic energy. They like that. So I guess if there's an artist who can, you know, control the crowd in that way to where they get emotional, they get chaotic, and they want more and more, then I guess that would be why, you know, he's a popular artist. I can only guess because I don't really follow him like
that. And I think it comes down to safety, because there's other artists that have similar kind of environments at their shows, the same kind of energy. But I think, again, the biggest flaw with that festival is just the conversation around safety. You know, had nobody gotten hurt or nobody died, I don't think the festival would be in the headlines the way it is. But the problem is, like, okay, if you're going to have an environment where that kind of stuff is going on, then y'all need to really make sure everything's together. And again, you built a reputation on kind of having this kind of savage approach to your shows in regards to what happens with the crowd. And so now, hey, it's come back to bite. So how are you going to answer for it? And they're going to make him the face of everything. So because there's so many additional artists who've had similar experiences at their shows. But this is one of the more recent ones and one that's really extremely tragic. So yeah, he's going to have to answer for that. They're going to make him the face of that entire dialogue. So,
and he deserves it. In my opinion, he deserves it. He deserves to be the face of it. Yeah. You got kids dying at your shows, mm-hmm. and then you're on camera saying, you know, if people don't get injured, it's not lit. Like, that's what you want. You want people to rage. And even they say, this is what I saw. Like, it's a video, you know, there's a 10-year-old child allegedly that was injured. That's injured. In critical condition. Yeah. But there's a video also of him, of Travis Scott. He jumped in the crowd, and that same 10-year-old allegedly was trying to steal his shoe when he jumped in the crowd, and he told the crowd to attack that 10-year-old. Did y'all see that video?
I saw that video. I didn't know if that was the 10-year-old. Because I saw, I don't know if that's, is that from the same show?
Yeah, it's the same show.
Okay, so.
Dang. I am going by the Twitter caption. You know, so I can't verify it for sure. It's all allegedly, but the Twitter caption says that that's the same 10-year-old that ended up getting trampled later in the show.
Well, yeah, see, this is why I don't like standing room stuff, because folks are crazy. Nope.
But I've never been to that type of, like, Layla, don't be there.
Only festival I be at is Essence. Okay, that's the auntie festival. It's safe. We all got seats. Everybody gonna be sitting down, because half the crowd is like 53. They got gout. They ain't trying to stand up all night. So it's a safe environment. Let me quit.
All you gonna get is a hug.
It's not normal though. Like I said, I've danced on stages my whole life. You know what I'm saying? And I've danced behind Lisa. I've danced behind so many people, and you don't see that. Nobody now. They standing room. People are enjoying music. They got their drink and they chilling. They saying that people are getting pricked in the neck with bugs.
Heard that. Yeah.
They, like, you know what I'm saying? They want to be mosh pitting. I seen your video too, Calvi. You mentioned mosh pitting, and people, they encourage that. I went to Powerhouse years ago and Lil Uzi Vert performed. I ain't gonna lie, I got up too. He said, yo, come to me. I ain't gonna lie, something told me to get up and go to him. The whole crowd in standing room ran to him just off like a magnet. And literally, we just all started jumping. And I had to check myself and said, what the hell are you doing over here? And I had to move back to regular civilization. But it's a action, because you see everybody running. You like, if you're not running towards them, you're missing out. So it's something that is a chain reaction that happens. And if kids, and I'm grown, if kids could, you know, and that happened to me. So I can imagine with kids like, yo, this is what we're doing. So now somebody's under the ground and everybody's still jumping. That whoever that is immediately trampled. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like at the end of the day, that shouldn't even be a thing when you got kids in the room. No raging, no trampling. You encourage drug culture. You encourage. That's what it is. You encourage it. So this is what you want to happen at your concerts.
That's what I believe, because that's what he said. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, he did put out a statement on his Instagram. He put out a video, and Kylie Jenner actually put out a statement as well. He put out an apology, kind of rubbing his head and not looking at the camera and not connecting, kind of fake gasping. That's just my opinion. But, you know, what do you guys think about his apology?
It doesn't change much, but all right.
I feel like sometimes when you see people, when you look at the body language, which it looks like you were mentioning, and something that I look at, when you look at the body language and people look so sorrowful, it's important to keep in mind, sometimes they feel sorry for themselves. Like when you see them acting all, you know, rubbing their heads and stuff like that, it's not always that they feel sorry for the people that die. It's that they feel sorry for the repercussions that they're about to face. So when I watched the video, that's what I saw, that he was kind of like feeling sorry for himself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Calvin?
Yeah. If I were in those shoes, I don't think I would have been on video this soon after, because I probably would have been all over the place, like mentally. So, yeah, something. I guess I mean, you're going to have to apologize anyway. It's kind of a PR thing they're going to make you do. But the question is, again, like she's saying, how genuine is it? I'm sure he feels bad for those who have passed. But I think, again, like she's saying, he's thinking of, dang, this is about to be like the floodgates have opened. So what's next?
Well, let's just stay tuned and see what happens. Let's see if his career begins to flourish more. Or we'll see if he's silenced. We'll see. I want to see how everybody moves according to this. And I want to see what happens to his career. Because if people have done less and been canceled, I want to see what really goes down after this. Like, let's talk about the Queen Janet Jackson. If people have done less than this and been canceled, I really want to see what goes down. You mentioned in your video, Calvin, Anderson .Paak has actually just released a record label and he's looking for people that are actual musicians. What happened to the days when people actually knew how to sing, dance, play music, and actually be talented? Is that no longer a thing, or do you think it'll come back around? Thoughts?
I think it exists in that whole underground world, but mainstream isn't pushing that right now, I think, which kind of sucks. And I think, I hate to say this, but I always blame like the whole teen pop explosion for a lot of that. Like, it was a great time. I was a kid at the time. So the like 98 to about 2001, that where you could kind of have those kind of like microwave acts that were great because you saw these people sold millions and millions of records, and it was just like people ate it up like candy, and it was easy to reproduce. And so you kind of put the investment in that as opposed to signing a band where, all right, we got to do 9 different contracts because we got to. Because even when you think back to all of the R&B bands, like I mentioned, like Mint Condition and Tony, you notice as the years progressed, the groups got smaller and smaller. Like Tony started out with like 8 or 9 people, and by the time we remember, they only had the main 3 that you saw because, again, contracts and trying to deal with all that. All right, just cut all that. But I think, yeah, the industry, again, is very microwavable. And there's benefits, yes. And there's some things that work, there's some things that don't. I think social media is cool because people can get exposure. A lot of people have taken advantage of what happens with TikTok. But, okay, I work with children, and it's kind of funny because sometimes I'll just kind of, when we have, like, the downtime, I'll watch the teenagers or the kids play music and dance and stuff. And so they'll dance, but they only have these 15-second bursts because they only know a song from TikTok. And once the 15-second TikTok choreo is over, they don't know what to do. And so I remember watching this clip of them, and it was some kind of party or something. They were playing all these songs, and so they would only dance the first 15 seconds and then walk around waiting for the next song to come on. And I'm like, what is this? This is a very interesting era we're in. But no, I think, again, talent has always been overshadowed by profit. If you can find something profitable, yeah, you can sign the artists that play their instruments and can choreograph their own shows and produce their albums. But if they produce their own albums, that means they're going to want their royalties and everything in their publishing. We don't want to sign that. Let's sign the person who's just going to shut up and sing, and we'll take the money and give them a 360 deal. Like, that's kind of where the industry is, sadly.
I think you mentioned Summer Walker earlier, Jersey. Mm-hmm. Did you mention Summer Walker?
Calvin mentioned Summer Walker, and then okay. I did before.
About her album, you know, her album selling and everything, and people didn't know she had an album coming out. But did you see her 360 deal, her alleged 360 deal
with that 16 cents on the dollar?
Yeah,
viral. Lanced over it. I've just been so looking at all the craziness going on with Cardi B on the track and the baby mama's responding. I was just like, it's not going on with all this stuff. But then, you know, Summer, I'm going to say this. Summer did a good job of keeping herself in the media between London on the track and transitioning to dropping the album. Then she dropped the first single that she put out. I don't even like that single. I'm like, how that's your first single and you don't even like the single? But anyway, you know, then she transitioned into you know, the album being dropped. I feel like she's just doing a good job of understanding how to move in this era.
Yeah, and I think it's a challenge for a lot of folks because I think even the labels are struggling to figure out how to move in this era. And then I think there's a generational gap. Because I think older audiences don't really stream and they prefer to still purchase, but the labels are kind of shifting away from purchasing, minus the resurgence of vinyls. And so there's a handful of artists that fall in that 40 to 55 age range as far as being artists. And there's kind of a gap or a disconnect when it comes to how they get their exposure, because 17-year-olds are not following these seasoned entertainers with streaming numbers. So then, like, when you look at the streaming numbers for a lot of older artists, they're not very good, but there's a whole lot of layers and everything. Everything is a little weird right now. I think it'll balance itself out over time, but I think a lot of people are going to be collateral while we're in this transition.
I agree. I agree. Layla, I know you tell you that you're not really into music as much, but do you feel like there is a lack of quality in the music that you consume from the artists today?
I don't know that I consume their music. I listen to the same music that I like, you know what I'm saying, from back in the day. But I was going to ask, you know, you were talking about purchasing music. Like, I stream music. But when you purchase music, what are you purchasing? Like a CD?
Okay, yeah. So I stream as well. But if there's an artist I really like, I'll still either buy the hard copy of their album if it's somebody that I really rock with, or I'll purchase on iTunes. And do it that way. But even with that, the money is different for all three. The money is still, a label will still make a whole lot more from a CD. And then next in line is the iTunes digital purchase. Streaming, you're making, as an artist, I'll speak on it. With Tidal, I make 0.0012 cents for every stream. And then for Spotify, it's like 0.0006 cents per stream. So, as opposed to if somebody just buys one of my albums for like 10, I think they retail for $9.99. Totally different end result.
That leads me to a question. And Jersey, you did say that this was, what did you name the stream? Social Media Pays?
Social Media Pays.
Okay, with those numbers, it almost sounds like you make more on YouTube.
I do. And yeah, that's why I put my music. Like, what I figured out is I'll just put snippets of my songs at the end of my video, and that technically counts as a stream, because as long as you got more than 30 seconds. And so you get a video that gets 20 or 30,000 views. Boom, that's where all my money is coming from, because the numbers on like Spotify and all that are just okay. It ain't that great. So YouTube is my bread and butter for like marketing.
Okay. So would you say, Calvin, other YouTubers, because you see other YouTubers with songs out, like Nicole Jones and stuff like that, do you think they're using the same type of monetization strategy or a similar one?
Yeah, I think they also have bigger backing too. So it's easier for their music to get out there. I'm my own team, so I don't have this, you know, I don't got a team behind me. But I think with them, if you have a bigger impression setup or a bigger reach, then you know, you can be just fine with the streaming depending on what your numbers look like. But for me, because I'm a smaller channel, smaller artist, I got to really hustle and bustle to kind of get my stuff, you know, out there.
That's now, interesting. Let me ask you guys both this. Let's talk to the audience about your YouTube journey. You know, I feel like we covered so much about hot topics, which is like our specialty. But like, let's talk to the about your YouTube journey. Like, how did you guys actually be like, yo, this is actually something that's sustainable for me, and actually continue to do this career? Let's start with, like, how'd you get into it?
I'll go. So initially, I wasn't planning to have a YouTube channel at all. Like, so there was a time period where I was doing stand-up comedy, and then I used to choreograph as well. So I used to work with like different competition battle teams back when I still lived in Washington State. But then I ended up going to Howard. And I couldn't get to Washington every weekend for the rehearsal. So I would just upload, you know, my coaching stuff on YouTube with an unlisted link. So you had the link and that was the rehearsal. Gradually over time, I kind of just started putting stuff on the channel and having opinions on different things. And fast forward, all of a sudden, it was like, okay, well, people are actually watching this. Okay. And so, you know, then I started covering politics or race or the music and the award show reviews. And then at one point, I had a web series and I got the podcast, and then I started doing music. And so it's just been a gradual journey. YouTube is pretty much, I just always say it's like my little talent resume with some opinions on the side. So that's how I got into it.
And now, how long would you say that progress took you? Like to actually see, like, yo, I actually, from when you started to actually seeing, like, I'm actually making some money, how long was that process?
So YouTube was a hater because back in the day, because my channel started, I think, 2010, 2011. Back in the day, you couldn't get monetized until you had a certain amount of views. And so I got monetized. And then for some reason, Google had this moment where they just demonetized a bunch of accounts around like 2012, 2013. So I wasn't monetized until like 2017. And so really, maybe like 2018 is when it finally took off, because I only had like 50,000 subscribers, I think. But up until 3 years ago, it was like 4,000 or 5,000. So it took off in like 3 years. And it really came once I kind of invested more in the channel, had like a better camera sound. You get two or three videos that actually really hit and connect, and then it was on from there.
Definitely. I want to ask you this, one more question. You do so many different artists. I watched your Brandy doc. I watched your, like I said, the Janet, the Meet a Joe. You do so many different topics and you're really detailed. And that's what I appreciate the most is the research that you actually put into it and the dedication to it. How did you sharpen your skill with knowing how to, like, how am I going to get the message across with being as detailed as you can so everybody understands exactly what you're trying to get out there?
Oh, thank you. That's a good question. Okay, some of this might just be Howard University School of Communications. They just taught us how to present. But a lot of it, I think because all of the artists that I've featured so far, I'm a really big fan of. And so I just kind of wanted to put the viewer in the moment. So I look at the different age demographics of who follows my channel. So a lot of people weren't even around or old enough to remember some of this. So I was like, I want to put you in the space of what was happening right then and there. And I've always just been like a little music dork anyway. So to be honest, I timestamp my life based on what was happening in music. Like that's how I can remember different years and everything based on what award show do I remember watching and who. Like I still remember being pissed because TLC lost the Grammy to Coolio for Gangsta's Paradise, and then Stevie Wonder came out and I had a problem. I was like, really? But anyway, and listen, I love Stevie, but I was like 8, so I didn't understand what was going
on. Ain't the time.
Yeah. but no, it's just all about trying to paint a story. Because that is a lot of information to put out there. So how do you put it out without people losing interest? Because I was like, even when I was editing, I was like, yo, this is going to be like 2 hours. Who's going to sit through this? Like, because I was cussing editing it. And it was even longer. Initially, it was covering Demi to Joe through Discipline. And I was like, all right, this is too much. Let's just stop Demi to Joe and keep it moving. So, yeah, it just comes with time and practice. And again, I had a slow burner kind of channel. So I had 10 years to practice. So,
yeah. Well, man, congrats again. And I feel like your channel is going to be inspirational for a lot of people that are not familiar with these artists that have laid down the law for these artists that are out right now. You know what I'm saying? So definitely. Layla, I want to get into your
channel. Let's get it hers. I need to take some notes.
Yep. Well, first of all, I attended Hampton University, the real HU.
That's cool.
Mass media.
We having some bad press right now, so I'm gonna let you have this moment.
Okay.
But next time, I can't even say nothing. I gotta just sit and be quiet right now.
But you know what? I'm gonna be honest with you. When I went there my freshman year. I ended up graduating from Florida State. But when I went there my freshman year, we had similar issues. It just seems like a lot of colleges don't invest a lot of money in their dorm.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're living at home, and then when you go to the dorm, it's like you're going back in time. That's how it was at Hampton, too.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand exactly what those students are talking about. I understand it. My YouTube channel did not start on purpose either. To be honest, okay, I have had 3 versions of YouTube. To be honest, when I first started YouTube, I used to do natural hair videos. Actually, I might have had 4 iterations of my channel. I used to do natural hair videos, like locks and stuff. And then I did, for a period, do Illuminati videos. Just to be honest. But it was a different channel, and I ended up deleting that channel. But it was just something, you know, something I saw that I wanted to share with my followers. And then I came back, and I was doing natural hair videos again, me and my daughter. And then I did a video in 2016 when Tamar Braxton got fired from The Real. And that's when I kind of started covering talk shows, because I did like a joking video about her, kind of like how girl groups break up. And it was comparing that to how The Real, you know, cast was kind of breaking up. And I was making a joke about it, but it got like 100,000 views. And at the time I only had like maybe 200 subscribers. So I was like, I felt bad. I was like, I got to come back and tell the truth, because I was making a joke and it went viral. So I felt bad. So I was like, let me come back and be factual. And so that's why on my channel now, I try to make sure like I'm always presenting facts, because so many people, you know, YouTube distributes it to so many people sometimes. And it's like, you always want to be correct with your information. So that's how my YouTube channel really got started. It got started off a joke. And I was trying to come back and be like, okay, y'all, let's talk for real. You know what I'm saying? Let's present facts. Let's not make jokes. That's how it got started.
Okay. Well, I'm looking now, and you've built 341 subscribers. Okay, let's clap it up for that.
Thank you.
You've built a brand. You know what I'm saying? It says you have over 1,000 videos. So clearly, hours. You narrate all your videos, and you get a lot of views, and you have a lot of loyal people that trust your judgment. So talk to us about what makes you decide the topics that you actually choose to.
You know, that's interesting, because that's something I still work on to this day, because the way I decide my topics, like my brand, like I said, is female-centric, it's Black female-centric, and it's pop culture. I have a political opinion, but I don't share it too much because I'm more entertainment. Like, I'm focused on entertainment and pop culture from that point of view. So I decide my videos about who is trending in pop culture that would be interesting to my subscribers. So in my mind, I have like that ideal customer, that ideal subscriber, and I think who would be interesting to them. So that's how I decide, you know, what topics I cover. And like I said, it's still a challenge for me. Like every day I have to decide, you know, if I'm going to cover this story or that story, because sometimes it is hard for me. Even the Travis Scott situation, I haven't covered it yet on my channel because it's a lot for me. You know what I'm saying? Like people dying and stuff like that. Like it's a lot for me to cover. And that's why I do keep my channel a little bit light, because just me personally, it's a lot to cover the heavier stuff.
No, you know, your channel is light, but it be getting a little.
I thought it ain't even there.
Definitely, the little stings.
I do. I feel like lately I've been trying to, you know, the pandemic kind of, you know, influenced a lot of how I cover things now. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Let me ask both of you guys this in closing. What do you guys see next for your channels? What do you guys see next for your brands? Or is there more that you feel like you want to accomplish with YouTube or even outside of YouTube?
So I'm trying to position myself to be in a space where YouTube isn't my default go-to for everything. So I've been doing a lot of like behind the scenes stuff, which is kind of hard because it takes you away from your channel. So I'm sure my subscribers want to fight me sometimes because the time in between videos has gotten longer in the last 6 or 7 months. But it's like, you know, sometimes you work on those projects that you just can't talk about. So you just got like, all right, guys. And then, I don't know, something major happens and they're like, where's your video? And I'm like, I'm not even in the state right now. So, yeah, I would like to kind of set up to kind of either have something that's parallel to YouTube or just kind of branch into other spaces. Because I'm not against staying on YouTube for another 10 years, but I would like to do additional things as well. So just kind of continue where I'm already at. And really, because I already made all the goals I had. Like when I actually decided to take the channel serious, I was like, oh, I just want to have 500 subscribers and I'll be happy. And so yeah, I already hit my goal. So at the rest of this point, it's just smooth sailing. So, yeah.
Okay. Layla, what's next for Layla Lynn?
I would like to create more content. I'm on YouTube and Facebook. My Facebook, I have 44,000 subscribers on Facebook, so I would definitely like to grow that to at least 100,000. And I want to grow my YouTube as well. My next goal as far as subscribers is 500,000 between Facebook and YouTube. That's the next goal. But just like on a daily basis, I want to create more content. Like I would love to be able to do 2 videos a day. Like I would love that. And
you said 2 videos a day?
God bless you.
Yeah. But I do short form.
Yeah, it is a little bit shorter.
Yeah, a lot shorter.
I'd be having a marathon videos. Two hours, hour long. And another thing.
Hey, but people love it. And I watch your videos. I'll sit and like wash dishes and stuff and just listen because I love your point of view. And I think that's something to keep in mind, even though I feel like sometimes people look at YouTube like, oh, it's not a job, da 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 da. But I feel like for you, Calvin, just as a subscriber of yours, I would like to hear from you more often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it's not a, you know, hour-long video or whatever it is. One thing I've learned doing YouTube, which it took a lot for me to learn, that people want to hear from me.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot for me to learn that. And so that's why I want to create more content. And I would encourage you, Calvin, to create more content too. Is that all right?
I'm working on it. I'm getting it for somebody who actually has a larger channel. So let me take some notes. I've been getting that memo a lot lately. I was like, God, because I remember when I was doing the Janet video, because I just had to like hunker down because it was like a 3-week process to put that together. And it's like nothing else but that. So people are like, where are you? I'm like, just give me a minute. It's coming, it's coming. It's surprise, here y'all go. And then again, when you talk about multiple things, because I don't only just talk music, some of the people who only follow me for like the political and like black content, they're like, you made me wait 3 weeks for some motherfucking Janet Jackson.
They're literally waiting. They're not joking when they say that. Yeah. They are literally waiting. And so you always want to honor that, right?
Yeah.
You always want to honor that your subscribers want to hear from you.
I definitely get excited when both of you guys drop content. And I'm sure everybody can definitely agree to that. So definitely keep doing y'all thing. Is there any advice you guys would give to anybody that would want to get into YouTubing and don't know where to go? They're trying to figure out how to get monetized. They want to get into commentary, just don't know where to start. What's some advice, quick ones that you guys can give?
I would say be you. I feel like a lot of people want to kind of like mimic their favorite YouTubers. But I would say you have to do like an analysis, just like if you were to release a product or, you know, start performing a service, you kind of like analyze your strengths and your weaknesses. So when I say do you, I would say like analyze, where are you strong? Is it graphics? Is it editing? Is it commentary? Like, where are you strong? And then start from there. Like, don't start with what you see on YouTube. Start with you, like the you in YouTube. Like, what do you have to give? Start there. Yes. That's what I would say.
Everything she said, and even like we were just talking about, also consistency, which is, I'm going to talk, but really just being your genuine self, and depending on what kind of channel you have, I always say try not to be like a one trick pony. Like, if you can offer a handful of things because you have different skills, kind of put it all out there, only because if there's a certain kind of thing that you only do, if that trend dies, you go down with it. So you kind of want to always think ahead or think of what you think the next trend is going to be. So like, I noticed I started to see it become more of a popular thing where people were doing more so documentaries. So I was like, maybe I should kind of shift in that realm a little bit more instead of cussing everybody out all day. So, all right, let's kind of add that in and see how that goes. So yeah, just kind of paying attention to what the trends are, consistency. And like she said, just honestly being your authentic self. Cause like she said, there's a lot of people who will start. And I think because there's a lot of channels that really cover entertainment, and you have some that are really popular, but they kind of have like a funny personality or they can be a little messy. People will try to mimic that and they're not good at it. They're just nasty and mean. And then, you know, they get mad because you don't want to watch their stuff. So, just honestly being yourself.
Definitely. 100%.
Yes.
Well, today's episode is definitely social media pays. And I definitely, even though we talked about all what's going on in media, I wanted you guys to understand that there's a way for you to get into media today. If that's something that you wanted to do, right on a YouTube page that you can create for free. Yeah.
It is free. You can use your phone. You don't have to invest a lot of money to get started. That's one good thing about it.
Absolutely. And, you know, Layla and Calvin have successful YouTube pages that they're definitely collecting them coins on.
Layla has an empire. I have a successful YouTube channel. She got an empire over there. Yeah, like the whole state of Wyoming following her. So,
no, both of you guys are successful in your own rights. And I would say I go to both of your pages for different reasons. For research reasons, you know, I'm a director as well, Calvin. But I'm going to talk to you because I am affiliated with ABFF, which is the American Black.
Oh, you know, I used to cover that when I was still working for the magazine. Oh, yeah, we'll link up. I still got my press pass right over there.
Oh, but, that's
look, let me go get it just to prove that I'm so petty. It ain't even as deep. Hold on, let me see. Grab all my press stuff here. Let's see. I'm listening. Oh, yeah, right here. Pal. Oh, ABFF. Yeah.
So,
yes,
but to speak to your point, I feel like your YouTube page breaks down, like I said, it's really detailed, and I feel like you have the chops to compete with the big dogs. I've seen people win Emmys starting off from YouTube and build their empire, real content, just hiring a small camera team and just shooting the exact same thing that you do, just more in a professional setting, but detail already, your producing skills is already A1, it's just a matter of packaging it differently. And you can start winning some awards out here and actually get placed on TV and collect some coins.
Put it in the universe. Amen. Thank you.
Definitely talk offline. And Layla, I see so much already in your future. I see you.
Right.
I go to cover your... I'm going to lie, I do the show every Sunday. So a lot of times, depending on what's going on in meeting, I mentioned this to you, like, what's the topics? I was like, hey, I want to keep it fresh. I kind of... you're one of the people I go on to keep things fresh. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah, you told me you was like within 15 minutes, like as far as the topics, you was like 15 minutes before the show. That's how fresh you keep it as far as the topics.
Yes,
and I was like, oh my God.
I just like I had no idea you were subscribed, Layla. That just made my day. I was like, she's watching
yes,
me.
So, yes, I subscribe. Yeah. I've shared your videos. Yes, you need to check your tags. Check your tags. I know it's hard to see on YouTube. When you have a lot of followers. It's hard to see when people.
Yeah,
tag
a lot of stuff gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. Yeah.
And I'm a lurker when I watch. Like I'll share people's videos, but when I actually watch, you know, I just watch. Mm-hmm. I'm a lurker. Yeah, I'm a lurker, not a commenter.
Both you guys are definitely dope, and you guys are going to be iconic to the culture, and I hope you guys even that in your contribution. So this, again, is Black Culture to Breakdown. This is Season 3, Episode 7, and today we had Layla Lynn and Mr. Calvin Michaels on the live, breaking down everything hot in pop culture, but today is all about Black Culture to Breakdown, breaking down everything in media, politics, and just pushing the culture forward.
Yes.
So I gotta shout out my sponsors before we end this live. Shout out to Spicy Jewelry, which chain I'm wearing right now. Make sure you hit spicy.com. Hit the code Black Culture to Breakdown for 15% off. Okay. Give y'all free money. As a matter of fact, make sure you go back and watch the replay on this live. They drop mad gems for free. Free money. All right. So another thing, let's get into Anchor. My show is definitely published and distributed through all streaming platforms. Spotify, Apple Music, Google, everything that you guys listen to podcasts on, definitely go ahead and stream that and definitely get Anchor. It's free.
Yes.
All right. So tonight was super dope. I appreciate both of y'all coming on. Flo, I know you out there dealing with a whole lot, but we're going to get you back on here.
Yes, best wishes, Flo.
Okay. That's yes. Wishes, Flo. And if y'all are down again, if y'all want to meet Flo, we'll definitely connect that. And I would love to. I'm all about an inclusive village, you know what I'm saying? As we just got to all stick together. I feel like that's the way we push the culture forward. And I'm glad that you guys were all able to come on the live and just share y'all wealth with you.
Yes, thank you for the invite. So,
I appreciate it as well. Thank you. This was fun.
No problem. Y'all cannot be strangers on the show. Y'all definitely got to be back as the season progresses and definitely progress. All right, I'm about to end the live in a few minutes. Make sure y'all go stream last week's episode. I definitely had Raz B on from B2K.
Yes.
So all about the Millennium Tour, all the craziness that goes down, what happens behind the scenes. You got served too, and a whole lot more. Make sure y'all go stream that. And the day before that, I had James Dubose from Foxo, the general programmer. So make sure y'all go ahead and check him out. He talks about everything from TGIF, Cocktails with Queens, and all the other stuff that goes on that network.
Yes.
But I'm super tired. I'm sure y'all are tired too. So we're going to definitely see y'all next Sunday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your boy, Jersey, and this is Black Culture Breakdown. Thank y'all so much for coming on again.
Thank you. I want to invite both of y'all on my channel at some point as well. I want to invite both of y'all on my channel as well. So hopefully.
Yeah. All right, I'll shoot you my email address. Are we following each other? I think we are. I'm going to find out. I'll figure it out. But yeah, I'm going to shoot you my email.
So. Okay.
Definitely. Make sure you follow everybody. Everybody follow everybody.
Yeah. Right.
All right, y'all. Deuces. I'm gonna see y'all later. All right.
All right. See ya.
Bye.